And so the psalmist says, the way of the transgressor is hard. You know, we think about how that God treated Israel. And in Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16, the master, or God says there to the children of Israel, he said, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see and ask for the old paths, where is the good way. And walk therein, and ye shall find rest to your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. You know, we look at Israel and we say, what in the world is wrong with you guys? God blesses you so much and gives you so many things and has done so much for you, and over again, their response to God is, we're not going to serve you. We're not going to walk in your paths. We're not going to keep your laws. And we see God bringing pestilence upon them, or bringing invaders in and take their land, and they go into captivity and spend years and years into captivity, and then praying and plea to God, and he brings them back, and it just, it goes over and over again. We think, what in the world? Why are you doing this? And then we have to take a look at ourselves. And are we not very, very similar? I'm talking about our world today, to how the children of Israel acted. Life is often pictured in God's word as a way to travel. For example, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13 and 14, enter ye in at the straight gate. Wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction, and many there be that enter thereat. And straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. All the way back into Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 26. Again, the choice of ways. Behold, I set before you this day, God says to Israel, to us, before I set before you this day, a blessing and a curse. Blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. But a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God. And again, in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, I will call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before thee life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that you may have, that you and your seed may live. So even to this day, we find that there life is a choice. Life is a choice of roads to travel. We still have that broad road that leads to eternal destruction, and we have the narrow way that leads to eternal life. Here we stand, even this very moment, at the crossroad of decision. In Romans chapter 6, verse 16, Paul says there that, know ye not to whom you yield your lives servants to obey? His servants you are to whom you obey, whether of obedience unto righteousness, which leads to life, or servants of darkness, which leads to death. So we really, I said we have a choice, and we do. But we don't have a choice of whether or not we are servants of some power and entity. We are servants. That we do not have a choice in. Paul said, know ye not to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey. We do have a choice in that we can choose that broad road or the narrow road. We can choose either obedience unto righteousness, which leads us to life, or obedience unto darkness and Satan, the power that leads unto death. So yes, we do, as Joshua challenged the children of Israel in Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15, to choose you this day whom you will serve. The reason is because the way of the transgressor is hard. So as we stand at this crossroads, we certainly need to remember that the decision that we make not only determines our fate for today, but our destiny for an eternity. And so then maybe we need to ask the question, well, what is transgression? And if we were to just go and seek a definition, we would find something like this: to step across, to go beyond the limits set by law, to exceed or to break a divine law. Well, if we follow that definition, then I guess we could all say that we are transgressors. Because Paul reminds us in Romans 3 and verse 23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So this is something we need to listen to. Not only do we need to know what transgression is, but we need to know what happens when we transgress God's law. Well, let's just go take a few minutes and go back and look in the Old Testament at some of the famous transgressors. Might as well go all the way back to the beginning in Genesis chapter 2 and Genesis chapter 3. And talk about Adam and Eve. Do not eat of the fruit of the tree in the midst of the garden. That was the commandment. That's all they had to do as far as keeping a commandment. That was it. And of course, they broke that and transgressed God's law. I think about Cain in Genesis chapter 4. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. That's supposed to be a joke, Dustin. I tried. I'm not any better at it than you are. I'm sorry, brother. But Cain in Genesis chapter 4. It says, and in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground as an offering unto the Lord. Of course, we know that that was a transgression of God's law. And then Saul, in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22, disobeys God. He's given a power of God to conquer his enemies. And God's commandment was, destroy them all. But no, Saul saves the king's life, Amalek, and many of his the sheep and the herds. And God, through God's prophet Samuel, he confronts Saul. And Saul begins to say, well, you know, I know what he said, but I thought this would be really good. And besides, we can use some of these herds and we can offer sacrifices. And he was told to obey. To obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. But I guess the king of all transgressors, sadly, What a sad, sad story is the story of David in 2 Samuel chapter 11, where he lets his fleshly person take over, and he commits adultery, and in order to cover that up, he commits murder, and it just goes on. It's a sordid story. It's a soapbox opera that just went on and on and on and on. In fact, let's go and look and see what the consequences were of these transgressions. Of course, for Adam and Eve, their eyes were open. They saw their sins. They had a fellowship. And that word fellowship there is the same word that we find often in the New Testament when it means koinonia, which means a sharing. They had a fellowship, a sharing with God. Often in the cool of the evening, the Spirit of God would come, and they literally could walk and talk with the Spirit of God. What an awesome thing to have, and yet to lose it is a very sad thing. The ground was cursed. They were parents of the first murderer. They were made to leave the garden, and they could never come back. You see, transgression, sin, iniquity, those things consume us. And even though, and we're going to talk about this too, because I'm not going to leave it just with the transgression. Our transgressions can be forgiven. I'll tell you how and why in a minute. But even so, these consequences that you often have to pay, and these all did, consequences that lasted for their lifetime. And thankfully for some, not for eternity. For others, not so. Cain. In Genesis chapter 4, we read how that, verse 12, how that the earth was cursed. That anything he planted, and this was his passion. This was his love. And obviously he was very proud of what he had been able to accomplish and raising and planting and seeing it grow and harvesting it. And you know, I can understand how this may have clouded his judgment, because it was an awesome thing then. And he was one of the first to grow and things, and he was proud of it, and wanted God to be proud of him, I think. But that decision to transgress God's law, even for a good reason, is not a good reason. And so as a result, his transgression brought him consequences that nothing that he could ever plant again would ever grow. And he had a mark that wherever he went, he was a vagabond. Wherever he went, people would know that he was a one who disobeyed and transgressed God's law. In fact, Cain says in Genesis 4 and verse 13, he says, "My punishment is more than I can bear." And Saul, what about Saul? Well, Saul was rejected from being king, 1 Samuel 15 and verse 23. His kingdom was rent from him. He no longer had the fellowship of Samuel the prophet. God departed from Saul. 1 Samuel 28 and verse 15, he said, "God has departed from me." And he was defeated in his battle. He he fell on his sword and committed suicide. In 1 Samuel 31 and verse 4. But in 1 Samuel 26 and verse 27, here was his words. I have played the fool. I have played the fool, and I have erred exceedingly. Transgression brings consequences. And David, oh, we know that. The sword never departed from his family. Evil arose from his own house. The child that was begotten of the adulterous relationship died. In Psalms 51, a psalm of pleading with God for forgiveness. David says in that psalm, my sin is ever before me. Transgression, the way of the transgressor, is hard. Why can we not learn these great truths? The book says they're put there so that we'll look at them and see what happened and avoid going down the same way. I told you I wasn't going to leave you with just the story of transgression and the consequences thereof. God is a forgiving God. In Exodus 34 and verse 7, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. In Psalms 103 and verse 12, that he will remove our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. In Isaiah 43 and verse 25, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember your sins. God loves to forgive. In fact, how could that we not know that? In that God so loved us that he gave his son. For the purpose of shedding his blood so that we could have that forgiveness. Isaiah prophesied many, many years before the coming of the Master. In Isaiah 53 and verse 5. But he was wounded, speaking of Jesus. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. No wonder Paul says in his writings in Corinthians, thanks be to God for this unspeakable gift. And so, again, we're back to where we began, at the choice that is ours. Standing at the crossroads tonight may be where you are. Maybe you have not been baptized into the blood of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins and transgressions. And that's something that you need to do. Because you cannot, you cannot pay for your own sins, but you can. You really actually can. You can spend a forever in a devil's hell. You can spend eternity in a torment prepared for the devil and his angels. trying to pay for your sins. But you never can. And the torment goes on and on and on. So why in the world would we ever even want to have that as an option? When on the other hand, we have this awesome sacrifice by Jesus, the Son of God, for the specific purpose of paying a debt he did not owe, a debt we cannot pay. Paying this debt with his blood so that in his death we might live. Paul says it this way: he who was rich was made poor for your sakes, that you through his poverty might be made rich. What he meant was that by that was that Jesus had heaven. He was there. And he gave it up so that you could come there. So that I could have a hope in this world, this hopeless world. So that my transgressions could be covered, wiped away, scattered as far as the east is from the west, and placed in the hand of God to blot out my transgressions. God be thanked for his unspeakable gift. If we can help you in any way, would you come while together we stand and sing?